DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble up a dub dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
She went Family Guy closet monkey on you.
Someone screenshot it.
Evil, evil monkey! J'accuse.
Outstanding.
Okay, kids, I figured we'd get away from the normal dour bullshit we've been doing the last couple of weeks, and since Jim kind of triggered this last week, I figured we'd go full tilt and debate the greatest horror movie franchise of all time.
Okay.
Before we get into horror movies, I just wanted to say one thing really quick. I learned something new last Tuesday that I had said on the podcast on Monday that I had learned. So it was about the mass graves in New York, and it's actually standard procedure. The way they're handling it, it's just on a much bigger scale. So make sure you educate yourself and be open to learning new things and to say, oh, I was wrong. So it's okay. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. So I learned something new, and I was wrong last week about my outrage. Move on.
See,
that's my PSA.
No, Samantha, you nailed it. You nailed, you pretty much nailed it on the head from what we've said in the beginning. We have never said that we know it all. We've always said that we try and do our research before we spout off shit.
Except for Jim. Every single person.
Can you turn your mic up a bit?
I can. I'm not sure how. It's just my phone.
Put it closer to your face.
Closer.
There we go. Right up the nose.
Nostrils.
Bud.
Yes.
Outstanding. Than
nothing creepy about that at
That's
all.
That's your coloring page for the week.
Green shot.
Little something for the artists.
We've always come at this, and when we have our debates, we always say, look, we try and do our research. We never claim to know everything except for Jim, and we're always open to being corrected.
There's always a possibility on this show for being wrong, and none of us have an issue with being wrong, so long as the information that we get is fact-checked and vetted thoroughly.
Well, and that's like, the thing is, every single person, and if you say you've never fallen for it, you are lying. Every single person has been taken in by a campaign, has been tricked by a sensationalism, or has been brought in by some sort of propaganda, marketing. It happens every single day. So, and the mass graves being outraged about was just something that I fell into. And when I researched what actually happens, and I posted it on my Facebook page, this great video that Ryan actually sent me from a mortuary in New York explaining, oh no, she's not from New York, she's from elsewhere, but she was explaining how things work, and this is what happens, and so it was nice to know, and I'm like, now I'm armed with that information should someone fall for the same pitfall that I did.
Fair enough.
And sometimes our conversations will lead us into places that maybe we didn't do research on because we didn't know we were going to end up there. We take some weird turns here. So
some? Jesus Christ, the roadmap of this fucking show is windier than those sports car commercials. I mean, Jesus Christ,
for
dude.
Real.
I think it's adorable that you think we use a map.
Oh, it's a map, but it looks like it was drawn by a fucking very hyperactive child at Denny's waiting for
their
food.
It's a family circus cartoon.
Yeah,
it is 100% whoever takes lead of the conversation, the rest of us follow with no clue where it's going to end up.
And
then eventually there's a mutiny and someone else becomes the leader and we follow that person.
Yep.
Just happy to be here,
and a lot of the times it's just going in circles.
Yep.
All right, so let's get on.
The show is basically a psychotic horse with five saddles on it, and it will occasionally listen to whoever has the
Samantha,
reins.
Samantha, you can stop fingering me.
I didn't say you could stop it on me. Yeah.
Ooh, I'm feeling, oh my, oh my.
You know,
I'm the only one visible right now.
I was a little perturbed at the one finger, but when she had a second, I was on board.
Yeah, there we go. That's it.
Did her head go back as if she were in ecstasy while the two went in? Like,
mine did.
All right, fuckers. So,
today's topic was actually kind of something that Jim started last week with his
talking shit.
Completely wrong outlook on a certain Friday the 13th movie. If you want to see that debate in full, it will be available on Patreon level 3. You will get not just the audio, but the video. Ooh, three fingers. of Samantha, Jim, Danny, and myself arguing over which is the best Friday the 13th movie. And it got me thinking, because a couple of times we kind of started swaying into this topic. What is the greatest horror movie franchise? Not just movie, but franchise total. And I think the first thing we need to do, because there was already a point of contention between Danny and myself earlier today, I think we need to set the parameters of what equates a franchise.
Well, fire on there, sweet cheeks.
I think the first thing, it has to be more than three movies.
Fine.
Fair.
I still contend. Well,
we can debate trilogy at another time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, right. And I'm serious. The movies that you suggested.
I'm happy with that.
The movies you suggested, I would love to explore in depth at another time because they're fantastic.
Oh, why?
But I don't think they make a franchise. Well, and I did do some research on this to find out, like,
I think a franchise by Hollywood standards is anything more than two movies.
It's defined as a series of movies that all take place in the same cinematic universe.
So yeah. So technically speaking, I would say anything more than two. But honestly, for this discussion, the two that I backlogged in response to losing the two that I had come up with, they'll be fine for this conversation and they'll work okay. So I will not contend that three movies is not enough for a franchise. But for the time being, like I said, I got backups that will more than fit into this setup.
And I like that we can save trilogies for a different time so that that can be its own animal as well.
Well, and I agree because it actually opens it up, because when we start talking franchise, we are limiting ourselves somewhat. There's only really a handful of horror movie series that go for more than four movies.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was honestly one of the issues I was running into, trying to come up with an alternative. And it wasn't really fair because the one movie I brought up, I had literally just watched 2 and 3 yesterday, and they were glorious.
But Mr. James Willig from Pennsylvania, you had a point?
I was just going to say some movies shouldn't have been a trilogy. There wasn't enough there to spread into a full trilogy sandwich. But yet somehow got stretched cartoonishly and ridiculously into unentertaining into a full franchise. But that's, I think, a debate that we could save for even yet another day.
Well, that's very true. And honestly, that'll probably come up amidst this conversation, because there are some really solid horror movies that have five or six, you know, films out under the name. And like five of them are just garbage, but two of them are just outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're going to run into that with this, but I think we're, like I was messaging you, I think we're going to have to pull this from like our favorite and why, and then throw the standings in there to kind of buff our argument.
Yeah. I think when each of us list off our favorite, and I think we'll probably go rounds on this. We'll have a couple, but I think we should you know, name the franchise, name why we like it, and then name things about the franchise that we think makes it so iconic. So
yeah,
you know, in the zeitgeist. And Jim, I'm gonna hand this over to you. I'm gonna let you go first because I honestly think I know what your first pick is gonna be.
I got money on you, Big Jim. Don't disappoint me.
Well, actually, I have an interesting point of contention to possibly throw to the table. I would suggest that we immediately remove from the table Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, and I'll tell you why briefly. Because I feel that their franchise got stretched to a degree where the episodes really served to do a disservice to the core franchise. Like, it eroded its own original beauty to such a degree that by the end it was just so ridiculous and over the top. So I feel that there's such an obvious one and two, and that they kind of ran the gamut to such a degree that we just take those off the table and really kind of look at some of the other juicier nuts and berries and explain why they might be
the best. I will add to that. I will say that I'm okay with that, but I want Halloween on that list.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Just Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, no others, just those two.
Can I actually change that and say we can have those on the table, but with every franchise we talk about, not only do we have to extol what makes it good, but also discuss how the franchise killed itself. Because let's face it, all the franchises at some point killed itself.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a separate, that's a separate debate though.
You know, well, and at this rate, not really, because yeah, you're talking about why you like the franchise, but also where, at what point in time you think that the franchise that you're talking about jumped the shark, essentially.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Okay. So what's the official ruling?
So I think we should, I'm okay with leaving Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street and even Halloween off the docket.
The big three. Yeah, the big three.
But I think when we go into this, we have to, when we start talking about why we love it, we also have to counter that and go, okay, and it was good until this point, and why this movie or the next couple of movies took it off the rails.
That's fair. Okay. That's fair.
So, Jim, the ball is to you.
So, first firing.
Well, my inner child would love to scream Sleepaway Camp, because there were four, son of a bitches. There were four of those turds in the bowl, of which I only cherish one. But I will say that in my heart of hearts, I will have to say Hellraiser.
Nice pick.
Yep.
That was actually one of my backups.
I say Hellraiser in that it really introduced a titular character, a main character, with a distinct personality. I know Freddy did that as well, but he was cartoony. He was funny, which
he was a dream. Yeah. You know, so.
Well, he also let's be honest too. Like, Freddy didn't start out as quippy. I mean, he started out a terrifying. The first couple of movies, he was pretty terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
By movie two, he had started moving into his quippiness. He started getting his catch lines and shit like that.
No, you could argue he did it in the first one.
Mm-hmm. Not as much.
No, not as
he
much.
He was more, was, you know, still, coming
the
to
seeds
get you, bitch.
Planted.
Yeah. I'll just say I know that, you know, obviously he isn't the only one.
Well, yeah.
Because even Chucky had a personality as well. But there was something for me distinctly about, was it Doug Bradley?
Yes.
His portrayal of Pinhead, and just how much he genuinely relished in the pain and the suffering. He was like a Terminator if you could turn on the emotions or the Schadenfreude software so that it could enjoy, you know, wiping out humanity. There was something about that malevolence. And then, like, he had all these creepy fucking friends. Like, I don't even know what the fuck that dude does. But his fucking throat's ripped open, and he seems chill about it. I don't know. It's kind of creepy. So, for me, I'm throwing the gauntlet into the ring. Hellraiser.
I won't disagree. I will ask, though, where do you think the movies took a header?
Ooh.
Because let's face it, they took a header, and they took one hard.
Three. I would say three was a solid misfire.
Really?
Yeah. When they go
to Jim, you and I are so alike, because that's exactly the movie I would have chosen.
But it's JT Marone, you stupid fucking bitch.
I mean, and there were good ones. There were a few good ones after that, but
I liked
that
Bloodlines.
Was really,
I'm sorry. I did.
Yeah, no, I'm saying there were good ones after the third one, but really that was the start of we have some X-rays, Mr. Pinhead, and we need you to come into the office to talk about them. He's just like, well, no, I'm a demon. He's like, yeah, no, we understand, but you really need to take a look at some of these test results here. Your glucosites or whatever the fuck are way off the charts or on the charts. I'm not sure which.
Jim,
you have a lot of heavy metals in your blood, sir.
Exactly.
Did you catch Judgment?
Your Cinnabons are low.
Did I catch which?
Judgment. It's the last one they released. It was like 3 or 4 years ago it came out.
I did not, no.
No.
Really interesting premise for the Hellraiser series. So they'll bring guys in. And there's like a lawyer guy, and he sits down and he writes like all the crimes of the person that's kind of strapped in this chair. And then another guy comes in with a briefcase with all the notes that the lawyer guy had typed up, and he eats them. And then he goes over and he pukes them into a sink that feeds into another room where there are these oracles who swallow up this vomit shit. And then they bring the guy in, and depending on what the Oracle ladies have swallowed, depends on how they disfigure the guy.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
And then there's this whole side story where there's this angel who keeps coming down to keep Pinhead in line.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up killing the angel.
Womp womp.
And it's all to keep this detective alive who's working on behalf of heaven.
Spoilers.
Though he's killing people for hell. It's really weird, but it's like some of the stuff in it, it's like kind of fucking cool imagery.
Nice.
But it's no Doug Bradley, so the Pinhead performance is shit.
Yeah, and when you lose Doug, you really, I mean, that was...
Well,
that was,
in all fairness, he stuck around until what, the seventh movie?
No. Yeah, he did six.
He was only out the last two that they released, I believe.
Yeah, he did, because Judgment is like eight.
I thought it was closer to nine. You're probably right, though.
There's nine of them. There's nine.
Eight is pretty close to nine.
It is damn close.
I will also say Revelations, Hellraiser Revelations was pretty solid, but what ruined it was the fact that it wasn't Doug Bradley. And it's like...
Yeah.
The guy playing Pinhead is really trying, and the story's awesome, but it's like, it's not Doug, and it's like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
It isn't like a Friday the 13th where you just can throw on another mask and kind of limp along and pretend, but the true diehard fans, they know.
Yeah.
You need a voice, you need the stature they're in, because honestly, it's like, again... You know, and I'm going to toss this out here just because it did irritate me, the new Child's Play movie.
I just watched that. Oh, my gosh.
It's not bad. It's not bad. And I'll give it all credit where it's due, but I will say that is not Chucky. And it's only not Chucky because it's not Brad Dourif. I'm sorry.
It's the Joker.
No, it's not Chucky because the complete origination of the creature was just different and dumb.
Right. Don't get me wrong. It had its upsides. But it's not a Child's Play movie.
I'm with Jim. I liked it, but the only problem I had with it is the whole time I was watching it, I kept seeing that Simpsons bit. It was like, oh, here's your problem. Someone sent this doll to evil.
Which is exactly how it happened.
Right. All right, so who's up next?
Let's go Samantha. Samantha, what's your favorite franchise?
I was between a couple, and I think I'm going to go with my cheesier option.
Do it.
And I'm going to go with Puppet Master.
No! Yes! Very well done.
Solid choice.
Nice. Yep, yep.
Love that me is, some Puppet Master.
That is some heavy duty cheese right there.
Later movies, yeah, it got cheesy as it went on.
Dude, it started cheesy. It only hit really good at number 3, in my opinion, and then it went right back to bad. And then it topped itself off with Corey fucking Feldman.
Did you see the newest one, The Littlest Reich?
No, I haven't seen
it. So
that sounds adorable.
Off the walls bonkers. It is.
I think
so
the last
crazy.
One I saw was Retro. I think that was the last
oh,
one.
Oh, there's
watched.
A couple after Retro.
Okay, there's one before Retro that I'm using my phone for Zoom, so I can't look it up right now. But I haven't seen Retro yet, but I've seen The Littlest Reich, and it is so bonkers. There is this one doll, you know, one of those ones like on all fours where it crawls. Mm-hmm. Well, this one guy, like, they cut his back open, and then that doll inserts himself into him and then controls the guy. I'm just like, what?
Oh, my God, I have seen that one. Oh, God.
So bad. It's great, but I love the original. I love the original ones, wow. And Six Shooter was one of my favorites as a kid.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
And,
again, number 3. The
Leech Lady was so creepy.
Blade for the win, though.
Yeah,
come on.
Yes, Blade, always.
There's no
always
Blade and Blade, the Jester. I mean, come on. Those two
Blade,
are the iconic
the
guys.
Drill head and the flamethrower guy are like the originals.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and Jester, he was the last born in the first movie. But then when they flash back, he was like one of the eldest.
The original, yeah.
Yeah. So their continuity in Puppet Master.
It's all over.
You stop fucking caring after a certain point. You're just like, you know what? Fuck it. I give up. These puppets are alive. Fuck me. You know what?
Okay. Samantha, where do you think it started?
Jim was going to say something real quick, though.
Oh, Jim?
No, just a quick question. Does anybody know if there was ever a comic book of Puppet Master dolls versus Chucky?
No, I believe that demonic toy was the only thing they ever versed.
That, I think, like a comic book of them in hell fighting, I think that'd be dope as shit.
That would be bad.
It would be,
so
I agree.
Get on that. Start writing it.
I feel like there's an unfair advantage, though, because Chucky is one, maybe two if you give him the old lady. Maybe three if you go into the extended where he has a kid. But that's three on, like, fucking 12.
Yeah.
But they have Voodoo on their side.
Yeah, no shit, right? Well, the fucking Puppet Master's got ancient India magic from a green scaly monster,
there's that.
So it's all magical.
Suck it, Chucky.
Yeah.
So where did it go wrong for you?
I haven't seen them all in a long time, so I can't really say, but since the third one, I believe, had Six Shooter after that.
That's fair. And
after the initial trilogy, it was like, and then it just went straight to, so it was good and creepy and cheesy to, oh dear God, what am I watching? This is awful to, this is terrible, but I'm having a great time and I don't care. So.
And that's half the fun.
It's a freaking roller coaster.
Let's put it this way. I personally believe Puppet Master went bad with the first movie, but got good for the third movie and then went bad for the rest. Honestly, I have a hard time getting through 1 and 2.
I love 1 and 2. Oof,
I watched the first one a few months ago again, and I was like, holy crap, hell yeah. And then that's what led me to The Littlest Reich. The first one was really slow. But because they're such tiny little dolls, like they tried to build the tension. In some parts they did a good job, in other parts you're just like,
no,
it's a doll. So
yeah,
like the guy being held down by like 3
right.
5-inch figurines. I'm like, come on, man.
Are they made out of dark matter or something?
Yes. Yeah.
No,
they covered that.
Cause they swing from
Pinhead,
one to
the other original
without
one
it breaking.
Big hands.
Oh, yeah, the truck driver. I can't remember his fucking name, though.
Pinhead.
Pinhead, that was
Pinhead,
it.
Yeah. Okay, Danny, you're up.
I'm up.
You're up.
I'm pulling a heavy hitter.
Don't
Godzilla.
Ooh.
Longest running, baddest franchise in the world. Had a great start, had a shitty middle, and is finishing strong.
is
point of contention. I will say it's a monster movie, not a horror movie.
I was going to make the same contention.
But it's a scary movie.
Is it?
It's a monster
movie. It was.
It was. Again, we're talking, you know, the Irish quantity version of it.
You know what? I'm no. No.
No.
It's a monster movie. It's not.
That's
it's
a,
not
horror movie.
No.
Kaiju.
Sorry. Well,
at this rate, we're just counting slasher films, and that ain't horror. It's a slasher film.
Within the horror genre.
Puppet Master is a horror movie. Hellraiser is definitely a horror because it's not just slashers, it's supernatural. Mm. Same with Puppet Master.
I contend that.
Well, I guess
I still believe Godzilla belongs not only on the list, but at the top of the list. But if I'm going to get contended on that, I'm going to pull my secondary, and that's The Exorcist. Fight me.
Was that four movies?
Dude, there's like fucking six of them.
Is there really?
If you're counting The Beginning, Dominion as an Exorcist branch off, right, because it's Father Marin's storyline, you also get four original sequels, and let's be fair, you don't really want to watch them. But number one has got the heaviest hitter of all time as far as horror movies are concerned.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Boom.
Glowing endorsement,
bitch.
So I'm going to guess for you it went off the rails at number two?
You know, it's weird. Actually, number two is terrible. Number three wasn't bad, though, because they were trying to do Legion, the book. Unfortunately, if you ever read the book Legion by William Blatty, the movie is horribly disappointing. Because the book is really, really good. But they tried really hard to give us Legion in number three. And number four was just terrible. That was just awful. And then The Beginning was terrible. But when they actually gave us the real cut and real version that they wanted to do, which had a different monster, same setting, but different monster, different setup, different scares, things like that all together. And that was Dominion.
Mm-hmm.
That was a much better movie. In my personal opinion, it felt like Exorcist The Beginning was, let's take all the shit that worked from The Exorcist, throw it in this new movie, give us another female possessed character that we kind of give a shit about, and we're just going to play on old tropes. Dominion was the director and the writer going, no, that's not what we wanted to do. The actual possessee is this little boy who lives in this village. You're going to feel much worse for him because he feels like he's just getting molly stomped by a demon. You know, there was more heart and soul put into the story writing rather than just jump scare after jump scare after jump scare. And, oh, by the way, this is a callback to the first movie. So, yeah, I'm pulling The Exorcist.
No, I'll go with The Exorcist. That's I don't think I've seen anything but the first one. And the first one to me, I mean, that's such an iconic horror film.
Top tier. And again, the ones that I had brought up prior to this conversation were Reanimator.
Meeting's over.
Trilogy. Again, I love Reanimator Something Fierce.
Tim said something about the meeting being over.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Says, thank you for choosing Zoom. Oh.
I don't have it over here. We're still going.
Yeah, I still see your beautiful, shining faces.
Oh, okay. Well, nothing blew up. Nobody died.
Good shit.
Way to go.
Check your audacity, bro.
I will say I saw The Exorcist the first time when I was a kid, and all the adults that I knew were, like, scared of it. And I'm like, it's a fucking movie. Like, I'm the kid telling the adults, I'm like, what the fuck? And I had already seen Jason and Freddy and Chucky and Leatherface and the whole menagerie of other motherfuckers. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to finally watch The Exorcist. And I'm stoked. And I was like, I don't get it. Now, this was me as a kid. Later on, I truly watched it again. I understood it and appreciated it. But I'm like, it's just this sick white girl with a potty mouth that's like yelling at her parents and shit.
Like, she's got some tummy trouble. She keeps throwing shit up.
Where's the fucking chainsaw? That's called a period
and teenagerhood.
Yeah, I look forward to that, buddy.
Well, Jim was in Catholic school, so I'm sure he was watching it going, why doesn't Sister Mary Joseph come in and just wrap her with the fucking ruler?
Serious,
just straighten her out.
Bitch, chapter 3's got, like, lepers and shit. Like, we're reading the Bible. Fuck this Exorcist shit. Right? You know, but then I watched it later on. Like, I bought the, on VHS, I bought, like, the 20th anniversary of it, and it had all the deleted scenes. And it had the fucking spider walk, which wasn't in the version that I saw. And I'm like, that shit right there is your fucking, that's your, you know, horror money shot, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
Why did you cut that out of the version that I saw? And so that, and like the whole, like, the Timmy, why you do this to me, Timmy? Like, that's fucked. They're coming out of a little girl's mouth. You fucking kill it with fire. Timmy, just burn Timmy. The house.
Timmy, please.
Yeah, no, the spider walk, I remember, because I did not see it until they re-released it in theaters.
Really?
And I was super excited about it, so I got the book, and I read the book leading up to it.
The book is so
nice. I just bought the book.
It is.
Maybe 6 months ago.
I was stunned at how close. This was the first time I've ever seen a movie taken line for line from the book, and it worked beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was, why can't when they do other movies to from books, they can't get it right?
No shit. Well,
because it was fantastic. But and that was the first time they had added the spider walk. So I got to see it in the theater.
Ooh.
And it was fucking the whole, like, you could hear everyone in the theater's butt clench.
Oh, dude, and the shiver that just runs down your spine like cold water.
Because no one had seen that before. And it was like...
Well, and on top of that, I read the book after I watched the re-release, because I watched it when I was a kid, and that was the old version without the crab walk, and then I watched it, the re-release in theaters, and same thing, I my butt puckered, I'm not going to lie, but after that, I went out and I grabbed the book, and that scene in the book, it's like, I was so expecting it, and I was ready for it, and when it happened in the book, the only thing that upset me was the book scared me a little bit more. Because Sharon was the only one who saw it.
Yeah.
And Regan walks like that behind her, nipping at her ankles. And she's fucking losing her shit because she's trying to call people. But Regan keeps just walking behind her, nipping at her ankles.
Yeah, in the movie, like, she just does it down the stairs. And it's creepy as fuck. But it's just like...
Yeah, dude. Yeah. But following her ass around the house is like, God damn, brownie points for you keeping that job for longer than a minute longer than that shit.
And something else I'll give a point to for The Exorcist is I got obsessed with that fucking movie because of all the paranormal shit that went on, all the people that died, all the weird fucking like curses and shit. I mean, I know it's fucking whatever, but there was like this aura around the movie. It wasn't just a scary movie. Like there was a sense you just didn't fuck with it because you didn't, you know, you were scared, you know, something was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Then you find out the director was a total fucking psycho. Like, oh, fire off a gun, break a woman's back. Eh, who gives a shit? You know,
it's cool.
Cut on film. Looks great.
Well, it got the same sort of following that the Poltergeist movies did because of all the weird the so-called curse that followed people.
Oh yeah, Carol Ann's curse from Poltergeist. Yeah,
like people died on those movies like constantly,
and that was based on some real shit too.
Yeah,
the Conjuring cast has experienced stuff too.
Do what?
The Conjuring cast has experienced stuff too after filming wrapped.
Oh, fair enough.
See, and this might be something we explore at a different point, but I'm curious how much of that the so-called curse stuff is just made up publicity for the movies.
Oh, I'm sure at least 80% of it's horse shit, but it might be seeded or rooted in like weird shit was happening to them after it happened. A wee spot of bad luck, we'll give it to them, but since they wrapped this really creepy movie up, you know, it lends itself to suspicions beyond.
Oh yeah.
But there might be more validity to some of the, you know, the stories that we get out of like the Poltergeist one or even The Exorcist and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a little bit more validity to it, but I think you have to have a certain superstition rooted in you to really buy it.
Yeah.
And I think it works to add publicity. I think the reason why it was so cool for Poltergeist and Exorcist was because, as far as I understand, the stories about the curse, essentially, of the movies didn't come out until way the fuck after they had left theaters.
Yeah, they tried to cover it up.
Exactly. So at that rate, it's not good publicity because it's already too fucking late.
Well, movies that do it marketing and publicity was not what it is then that it is now.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But again, it's one of those things where it's like, I could see how those stories probably have more validity to them because of the lateness of the information coming out. The newer movies, when they say, oh, the film's cursed, it's like, ooh, it's cursed. Let's go check it out and see if it's worth anything.
Well, an interview with the dude who played what, the Warrens, who played the husband.
Yeah.
He, in an interview, had talked about, well, we did experience X, Y, and Z. It wasn't like a marketing ploy. It wasn't, this is all haunted. It was just a couple weird things happened because they were also playing with some, like, real life scenarios. Like Annabelle was a real doll. It is actually locked up in the Warren's Museum of Oddities and whatnot. So it was a real thing. So he's just like, yeah, we experienced a few things for a little while.
Which, by the way, who of us would not want to visit the Warren's personal library?
Road trip. Let's go.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Yes. No, I will say my...
Look, I'm going to go, but I'm going to go with a lot of holy water.
Whatever, dude.
The house
I'm walking in there just dressed in all black leather, like, all right, Annabelle, let's go.
The house I grew up in had attic windows like the ones from Amityville Horror House. It looked a lot like the Amityville Horror House.
That's another movie I was going to bring up that's also like that cast was haunted.
And my sister was having a slumber party, and one of the girls, when they pulled up in front of the house, was like, nope.
Outstanding.
Didn't even go inside.
Did you put a cutout of a pig face in the window?
No, it was just Jim pressing his face.
Close enough.
Come in.
No.
There's a ghost of a little boy's anus on the third floor.
The stench lingers wherever you go.
Smells like a
dick. Oh, you just named the episode.
Yes. Yes. On the board first.
The stench lingers.
The stench lingers. Outstanding.
On the board.
Okay, I am going to go with the Phantasm series.
I was going to go with that.
I fucking love the Phantasm series.
The tall
I haven't
man.
Seen Phantasm
Angus
in a
Scrimm
long time.
Is one of the most. He's up there with Doug Bradley. It's like
the creepiest looking motherfucker on film.
It is not so a Phantasm movie unless you have that creepy old fuck.
That
just
giant,
storming
ogre-y looking motherfucker. Yeah.
In slow motion with that echoing footsteps in the mausoleum. Oh.
Oh, and the shining silver
the spheres.
Balls.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Spheres.
And it's beautiful, too. When you go back and you watch some of those older Phantasm movies, it's like their budget was clearly showing with some of those spheres.
Oh,
and
the
it is
first
so
one
priceless.
Was, they spent all priceless. The money on the sphere because there's nothing going on in that movie.
Nope.
It is a lot of
oh my God, it's
car
a cemetery,
rides.
Timmy.
It's a lot
there's
of
a lot of flannel shirts in that fucking first
oh,
movie. It's just like it was that movie was carpeted. That's how fucking 70s it was.
Shag carpeted.
Priceless.
So good. But no, I was like, that was my first jump, was going to say Phantasm. The fucking quad barrel shotgun that files into a point. Like any human being could fire all four barrels at once and not just have their arm removed from their body. Like that would do more damage to you than what you're shooting at.
Well, and I absolutely love too that he's got four barrels. He fires them off. Do you know how long it takes to load a shotgun?
Be right with you. Be right with you.
Don't move. Don't move. I got
Wait,
this.
Can we turn up the slow motion on the walk?
Hot shell. Hot shell. Ooh, hot shell. Hot shell.
Oh, God damn it.
One Since little, two finger. Little, three little Indians.
He wasn't fighting giants. He wasn't fighting monsters. He was fighting a sea of little people. That he could have easily just fashioned a melee.
He was fighting. He was fighting
the Lullaby Guild,
the rejects from Munchkin Land, the Lollipop Guild.
Yep. No, they were dinks from Spaceballs that went bad.
You it almost happens. Made Samantha spit take. That was well done, sir.
Nice.
It happens more than people realize.
Dink dink.
Yeah, and then the you know, and then it's revealed that the hell dimension is these two little slits in walls. And there's magnetism and oh God, it's so weird. But honestly, the absolute best scene was in Phantasm 2 when that sphere came and just smacked into the guy's head, and then the drill opens up and then starts spitting all the blood out the backside.
Oh God, that was priceless. I think that was my first movie experience of Phantasm 2. Like,
oh yeah, mine too.
I didn't get to watch number one when it came out. My brother rented Phantasm 2 from Blockbuster because, you know, my age. And he was watching that at home, And I wasn't supposed to be watching, but it was.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I remember the spear hitting him in the forehead and the drill. It's all off center and wobbly and shit. And then all of a sudden the hole in the back is like, oh, that is so cool.
Well, yeah. I like, I think it's the end of the second one or maybe even the third. But the adorable couple gets to the hearse and they're driving away, or they think they're driving away, and they're like, you know, it's just a dream. It's just a dream. And then he like whips open the window. He's like, no, it's not. And then blackout, roll credits. Fuck you. You're not sleeping for another 3 weeks.
Yeah, Phantasm was
fucking Angus
special.
Grimm. Fucking hello, boy.
Yeah.
Stop great calling party. Me boy. I'm a man now. Boy.
Boy.
And then the whole premise boy. Is this undertaker, this super tall undertaker, is robbing graves to take the bodies to make dinks.
Hex. He's making hex.
Jim takes offense to that word.
As he should.
I believe when you have more than seven, it's called an orchard of pecks.
Which finger, Jim? Which finger?
All of them. All of them.
But I will say
magic.
Magic. The last two Phantasms, just terrible. Just
yeah.
Oh. Terrible. Oh yeah.
Honestly, they started losing their way halfway through making three.
Yeah.
So
yeah. In all honesty, that's kind of one of those.
And they
things
kept
too.
Recasting the main the boy. Every movie, it was a different guy. But I think the only two characters that were in all five movies was the tall man and Reggie, the ice cream.
Oh, that poor fucker.
The four barrel shotgun Reggie. That's what they call me.
Yeah. Man, you know he got all kinds of trim at the Tasty Freeze.
Yeah, with that bald head, but the rat tail ponytail he had.
Oh, God.
Oh, rat tails.
I would love to see him trying to mount that quad barrel shotgun in his truck or like Camaro window, just trying to get it to sit in the holder, and it just keeps falling out.
Hey, Sheila, give me the duct tape.
Outstanding.
Sir, the safeties are on.
Another one I would like to mention went on way, way too long, but I think kind of redefined the whole found footage genre of horror was Paranormal Activity.
Yeah. You know, that wasn't a bad movie series to start. And honestly...
No, just to start, it was fantastic.
In fairness, I will give it up to Paranormal Activity. They didn't evolve their style. They didn't change their style.
No, no.
They stayed true to the original Paranormal Activity, and every subsequent movie thereafterwards stayed true to that concept
of the
found home surveillance.
Yeah,
footage.
And they didn't go like all... like. They didn't do what Saw did. Saw was low budget. It was fantastic. Yeah. That first movie was fantastic because it was essentially two guys trapped trying to figure out Paranormal Activity. And it was completely low budget. They made that movie for like 500 grand or something like that. I mean, it was Paranormal Activity, same thing. Super low budget. But every subsequent movie, they made bank on it because the budget was so low.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And I think more horror movies that, you know, do well, that the Blair Witch Project, the first Blair Witch Project was made for like 50 grand and
made
like a couple million dollars.
Oh, dude. And yeah, they blew doors off on that one. I will say Blair Witch is one of those movies where they had me. They had me hook, line, and sinker.
Same here.
I won't
Same
deny.
Here.
They had me believe in every fucking square inch of that.
Oh, their marketing campaign was brilliant.
Fucking brilliant, on point. I watched the movie and I went home going, fuck, I need to go to Boston. I need to check this shit out. It was just weird. But
here's what happened to me, and I wish to God I hadn't found out the truth the way I did. I wish just a few more days of blissful
delusion.
Ignorance. Yeah. I found out in line to see the movie.
Oh, fuck.
So
damn it.
So I went in to see the movie going, oh, this is all ruined because now I know it's all fake.
Damn it.
And I watched the Sci-Fi Channel documentary. I watched everything.
Oh, dude.
It just, they were so brilliant with the marketing on that film.
Who fucked it up for you?
Some guy in line behind us. My buddy and I. So my buddy was getting married the next day and he wanted.
This is why I wear headphones everywhere.
smart.
So for his bachelor party, he wanted to start.
Right, he and I were
both horror movie fans, and we knew about this movie coming out. We were super psyched, and so it's like, okay, my bachelor party day, you and I, before the festivities begin, we're gonna go see Blair Witch because it comes out that day, and we're pumped. We've got to see this movie, and this fucking asshole and his girlfriend and their friends behind us start talking about how fake it is, and we're like, what? No. No, no. And so we're just sitting there, we're watching the movie, and all the enjoyment that we would have got out of it, just gone.
See, and you get to sit around and watch everybody else get pulled in, and you're just like, oh, you fucking.
I want to be those people.
Right. Honestly, for me, it was different. Went and saw the movie in theaters, was captivated by it. I think it was like 6 months or so after the movie had come out, and we had seen it, I think, twice by that point. I saw Josh, the guy who plays Josh, show up on Leno, and I was like, oh, wait,
what?
Wait a goddamn
wait,
minute.
He's supposed to be dead.
Well, I guess he could have got out, I suppose. We didn't see him die, I guess. And I was like, what? No. And then it was like a year later, I saw the main girl. I think her name is Claire in the movie or something like that. She was in an Outer Limits episode, and I was like, hold on just a goddamn minute. And again, mind you, I was pretty young at the time, so it pissed me off. I was like, wait.
No, I, same thing, watched all the documentaries, had bought in 100%, and I bought tickets for me and my buddy and his girlfriend and I think a fourth person, you know, so I could go and see with my friends. And I remember we sat in a packed movie theater, and I felt totally alone. Like, I was so... And then, like, you watch it back, and you're just like, it's 99% a black fucking screen. It's like a wobbly fucking camera angles.
Oh, yeah,
and like,
yeah.
Someone,
oh, yeah.
Something's happening. You don't know what the fuck it is. You can't see a goddamn thing. Someone's breathing heavy. Someone's having an asthma attack. I paid $10 for this shit. But I believed.
Oh yeah, you were sucked in. I mean, honestly, had I not found out when I did, I would have. They would have had me.
Yeah,
like I would have planned a trip to Boston,
dude. Fuck real, right?
Gone to. I would have tried to find
Coffin Rock.
Yeah.
Me too. I was on board. I was like, oh fuck yeah, dude. These woods are haunted. I'm on it.
She's not gonna get me.
Right, and it will never happen to me.
Literally, it was the walk to the car, and I can't stop talking about the fucking movie. My buddy that I paid for his fucking ticket. He's like, all fake. I'm like, what? He's just like, yeah, no, it was a marketing ploy. They're all alive. I'm like, but no, I saw the dog. They're still looking for that. There's like, he's like, no, it's bullshit, man.
Oh, goddamn it.
I don't know where the hell I was. I had a very different experience with this movie. I was not drawn into it. Did not buy into any of it. I did not know there was a documentary out ahead of time. So never watched that. I don't remember if I saw it in the theaters. I want to say I did. I don't remember, but I know I saw it either in the theaters or shortly after it came out. And I was like, okay, all the shaky cam needs to stop because this movie's not good. I did not think it was great.
You're
Am
so
I the
cynical.
Only one? Sorry.
Samantha, I would be like
nah, that's bullshit.
God damn it.
Samantha, I will say, if you look on, you can find it on YouTube, find the documentary.
I'm sure, yeah. I'm good.
Even if you don't like the actual movie, the documentary is really well done. Well, and if you didn't know it was fake already, you'll be able to see watching that documentary how people were drawn into it. Because, I mean, I think they spent more money on making that documentary than the
No, they did the because entire, they only gave
Oh, no, I've read about it. Like, I know all the marketing stuff that they did for it. Like, I get it. I know why people were sucked into it. I totally understand. I don't begrudge anyone who was. I think it's great, and it's awesome that it worked on you because that's what it's supposed to do. And I'm jealous when things like that can work on someone. But, like, you ever watched, if you guys watched Bob's Burgers, the episode, Halloween episode where they try to scare Louise?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Louise. It takes a lot.
Oh, you and me both, but I was at the right.
And like the Blair Witch just didn't do it for me. I thought the concept was really cool. Some really good found footage stuff has come out because of it.
Oh,
but found footage is just not my favorite thing in the world. I think it can easily be done shitty, and then a director is like, well, it was meant to be that way because it's found footage. I just think it's an easy out for a shitty director.
Okay, wait a minute. I have a question to follow up that statement. Now, as Sam brought this to the forefront, because this was actually something I was going to ask after we started talking about Blair Witch, not even doing a franchise, but what was maybe the one and only or your favorite found footage style movie that you've seen ever?
Cloverfield.
Really?
VHS.
Yes.
Right. VHS.
I've not seen VHS. I've heard it's good, though.
It is.
I've heard it's really good.
Is VHS found footage, or is it just a collection of different stories?
It's considered found footage. It's in the found footage genre.
It's a collection of found footage shorts.
Yeah.
That are all tied together with a single narrative. I do want to say this, though, real quick. I can tell you definitively that the documentary for Blair Witch costs more than the actual Blair Witch, and I can prove it because the documentary took place indoors, so they could afford a place.
They rented a warehouse, some lighting.
It was like, okay, we're going to the sporting goods section, get a tent and some fucking sleeping bags. That's the set. Hope you're comfortable. Like, fuck.
Outstanding. All right, so honestly, for me, my personal favorite found footage film that I've seen ever is As Above, So Below.
Oh, that's good, too.
I fucking love that movie. The movie is basically a found footage where these explorers, this one chick, she's an archaeologist, and she thinks she's found a bead on the Sorcerer's Stone. And she believes Nicholas Flamel's gravesite is somewhere in the catacombs. So basically what they do is they use
Paris,
that,
right?
Well, yeah. And they use this as a catalyst to tell Dante's Inferno through this archaeologist going into the catacombs. It is all kinds of fucking unnerving, and it is so beautifully done. Highly recommended. If you like found footage movies and you like Dante's Inferno, this is going to be right up your ass. Just saying. All up in there.
Oh, good.
Just the way you like it, Jim.
Rough, rugged, and raw.
Fuck yeah, buddy.
Jim's video
raw
is
dog.
I just hard get bone. Stoic Jim. Oh, there it is.
His battery must be low. But yeah, I highly recommend As Above, So Below.
Samantha,
do you have a
favorite found footage?
No. I mean, like I said, they're just not my favorite thing. I did like Cloverfield, but if we're going to say that, if we're going to say Godzilla isn't allowed in horror, which if you look at the entire horror genre, monsters are under horror in general, but I'd say it's more sci-fi than horror. Then we would have to say, we would have to say Cloverfield goes into that monster genre too and would not be allowed in this conversation.
Well, the question was found footage movie, not horror found footage.
That's true, but if we're going to split hairs, then let's split them all the time. So,
cut them all.
It's not my favorite thing.
We can't get haircuts anywhere. Of course they're all split ends.
Who are you telling? This is bleached split end, god damn it.
That's high shame.
Hat-eyed shame.
So, if I have to go with a favorite, I would say, because I haven't seen a whole lot of them because they just don't speak to me, I would have to say Cloverfield. I did enjoy that one. I liked when they took the girl back and then like just blood explode. So I thought that was cool.
That was pretty awesome.
That one was done pretty well.
I highly recommend you give old As Above, So Below a try.
It keeps coming up on my recommends lists. So maybe. It keeps coming up on my recommends lists. So maybe.
It's really well done. And again, I picked up on the Dante's Inferno undercut because I had read it maybe like a year or so before seeing that movie. And so it was still kind of fresh in my head. I was like, hey.
I would actually love to see a really well done Dante's Inferno movie.
Oh, fuck me too, dude. And at this rate, the video game was pretty damn good for like graphically monstrous, creepy shit.
Yeah, it was good, but it was like an
completely
action,
ignored the story.
Yeah, it was like an action movie. I want to see a full on like Clive Barker fucking.
There is. It's animated.
What is it?
There is, yeah. Is Dante's Inferno, it's I'd say manga style.
Blech.
No, but I want to see a live action. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fuck him to you. There's just no pleasing some people.
There is not.
They should have this thing.
I demand they satisfaction.
Do. Really? What's it like? What's like
I can't
this?
Get no we'll satisfaction.
Thing. Exactly. Yeah. God damn it.
Why don't you just spit in my mouth?
Danny, I did watch Ritual on your recommendation, and I liked that one.
Which one?
Ritual.
Oh, yeah. That was
I like that one.
Haven't seen Ritual.
No, I haven't seen Ritual.
It's on Netflix, if you have it.
I don't have Netflix.
Oh, dude, it's solid as hell.
Sorry.
It's a really Hereditary. Good
film. Hereditary is a good one.
Oh, I love Hereditary.
I didn't like Hereditary. I am so in the minority. I didn't like Hereditary.
I loved it. I loved Midsommar, too, though.
Me, too.
I loved Midsommar.
Oh, yeah.
That was so good. That
was good.
Midsommar, I think Midsommar was what Children of the Corn should have been.
Right, and on top of that, I love the fact that it was in daylight.
Yeah.
It was a horror movie at the brightest part of the day.
Yeah.
Well, since it was, you know, their summer solstice, it longest day, but yeah.
Ari Aster talks about that in his interviews, is that he wanted something dark and dreary for Hereditary. Like, he has an overarching story that he's going to tell with his movies based on, like, their setting and stuff. So I'm very excited to see what he comes up with next. I think he's, like, a really good visionary for, like, the future of horror. So
oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Excited.
And I honestly will still stand by that. I love The Witch.
Oh, The Witch is fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, God, that's such a beautiful horror movie.
Yep.
And let me guess, Big Jim hasn't seen it.
No, I got a lot of movies to watch, apparently.
Serious, bro.
Get
fucking
that,
dropping
buddy.
The ball, man.
I'm just
so watching. If you'd like to find Big Jim's Netflix.
Anybody got a username password for Netflix for Big Jim?
I've been
mine are used up. My grandma, my mom, and my nephews use mine, so
nobody
I can't.
Uses mine.
I can't add ever. Another profile to it.
I don't give out my information to anyone ever at all.
Great. That's fine. Podcast with people. You laugh with people. You bond during times of stress. Oh, but fuck you on my Netflix. You can stand outside in the valley of entertainment and starve, and I will feast on sumptuous nuggets of entertainment that flow forth from my banquet of Netflix. You shit.
Legally speaking, I don't ever give out my information ever.
Oh, please. My mom and my grandma.
Especially
well,
since
you
it's not
are you have up to 4 profiles you can use legally for anyone else.
Justify
so.
It whoever helps you sleep, Samantha. That's fine. So that means you get your 30 links. You know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be up all night trying to find something to fucking watch.
We got recommendations for you there, buddy.
He's still using, like, BitTorrent.
If only he had a Netflix
account. Download
account.
The movie.
Right? God, dude, $10 a month. Way to really pinch, man.
I got a Viewmaster and, like, a cassette tape with, like, you know, when you hear this sound, flip the switch.
See, that's why he likes VHS, because that's what he has it on.
Yeah, Hey, I think I got the original cut of the TV miniseries It on VHS for you, bro. I'll send it to you, you know.
Oh, God.
No, it's fine. I have it on wax cylinder.
Got to get the Edison player out for that one.
He is in Amish country, so that
Not
makes
sure,
sense.
Right? The whole neighborhood gets to join in when Jim watches a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Get that sweet low end so when I can hear Thomas Edison sing Mary Had a Little Fucking Lamb.
It's not high def, it's not low def, it's wax def.
It's is it live or is it Memorex? No, it's dead. It's been dead.
No, it's dead, bro. Shit's hand crank.
Oh shit.
Good shit.
So we have a little like wheel turnabout. Like my mom and my grandmother use my Netflix. Mm-hmm. We use Ryan's Hulu here. Mm-hmm. And then I use my mom's HBO.
Well, good for you. It sounds like you're all sewn up then.
If I had a profile, I would give you my password, but I don't have an extra profile for you. It would cost me extra money.
I don't
actually. I can take my nephews off because
Jim. I will say, when you just lit your cigarette, it kind of lit you in like a horror movie light.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of creepy, dude.
The smoking man from X-Files.
That's the.
Hey, I think that's on Netflix too.
Great. I'll rub my library card against the remote control and say a library of clock broken molder.
Oh, I love you, Jim. I miss you, buddy.
Fuck real.
I miss you so much.
Hard to hate. Hard to hate.
Even that's when he's getting all surly, you just want to hug him.
You just want to give him a big old hug. You just be like, it's okay.
Well, you know how we can make it better is set him up on someone's profile for Netflix.
Like, each of us donate $2 to Big Jim's month subscription to Netflix, even though the first month is free.
It's a side Patreon. It's $7 a month that you will send to a offshore account. My real last name is
a Big Jim's Netflix. Outstanding.
Look, I've got two DVDs that I can watch whenever I want, and then as soon as I return it,
just these the two. Are one. If he only had something to play them on.
They don't do so well.
I have a broken PS2. I got a broken PS2 that won't play games, but I can watch movies sometimes when it's in the mood.
When it feels like it.
No, I had an old Xbox.
Do you blow in an old
Xbox that was, dude, I shit you not. I had an Xbox that was moodier than three of your ex-girlfriends. I shit you not.
Had to caress it and tell you loved it. Just,
oh, like, you know,
light a candle before you push that on button.
No, like, I want to watch a movie, and it's like, no, I don't recognize it. I'm like,
oh, hey, it's Amanda Strippy. Nice.
God,
it's
like, damn.
You're a Blimey. Disc player. I put a Bookmark. Disc in there. Or I put the disc in that, like, the game that the console came with. It's like, doesn't recognize the disc. I'm like, bitch, you came in the same box. You didn't talk the whole time you were sitting there waiting for me.
Dude, I've had systems that do that same shit to me. But honestly, again, yeah, you got to blow on it. You got to turn it upside down. Give it a couple of light pats on the butt. Flip it over. Light a candle. Put on some Barry Manilow and touch that power button nice and slow.
And then you burn some sage.
Blessed are
you thou. You read from the Quran.
The power of Christ compels you.
It was weird.
The power of Sony compels you.
It would only turn on if the lights were off. It was weird. I don't understand that myself.
I had to turn the lights off. Again, the Barry Manilow.
But as soon as you turn the TV on, it shuts off again.
Right.
You got to give it that red light special.
You've heard of the red ring of death?
Yeah, the red ring of death.
You're the red ring of death that you get sometimes on your Xbox when it crashes. Yep. I got the blue balls of sadness.
Blue balls of sadness is a contender.
yeah,
it really is, but the stench lingers really fits this episode.
It really does.
Agreed.
We've talked about many shitty
it gets
movies.
In your skin, it gets in your hair,
right? Just lingers,
nothing gets it out. Okay, we're coming to the end of another episode, so remember, we have a Patreon and we have absolutely one supporter.
Hey, he's a great supporter.
Drew Boo.
President of our fan club, goddammit.
Drew, we love you.
Pay him respects.
We need more Drews. More Drews in the world.
Feel more like Drew in these trying times.
Help Jim get Netflix.
Serious.
Tier 4.
Listen,
pay for a Big Jim subscription for that free month at Netflix.
I don't want to come across as desperate, but if we're going to get this Drew cloning facility built, then we're going to need to, you know, get some shit together and start getting some ground source, some funds. So you need to start donating to the show, telling friends, they listen, they start liking it. They start drinking the Kool-Aid. They start wearing the shirts. They start saying the prayers 7 times a day.
We have shirts.
As it'll say in the handbook.
First I've heard of it.
Fuck real.
Yeah. So just.
And look, your Patreon support helps us develop stuff. We've got some things that might be coming down the pipe. Some really, really fun things that we're discussing that could be really, really enjoyable.
This has been the Vague News Network.
Help support Homestead. If you like Homestead and that's all you like, hit us up on Patreon.
It's okay to pay us for just the things you like.
Shit, they're not going to pay us at all.
It's true. Right. Hey, look, none of you guys have to pay for rent for the next couple of months. You're going to be lousy with extra money. You know,
right? No shit. No, I'm with you.
Me, I got $1,200.
Landlord, no, I got $1,200.
So hit us up. Not another Patreon. We got 3 tiers. Check them out. Find out which tier works for you, and you can get some amazing extra content. Be it just us saying your name. All the way up to, you can get video of Jim and I duking it out over which is the best Friday the 13th movie ever.
And why the other was clearly wrong.
4.
Yeah, about even four. Though, so we're not even going to address the conversation that took place after the debate. We're not going to talk about that at all.
It wasn't on video. It never happened.
Nope, never happened.
No, it was
about it.
In text form. Numb shits.
Well, we still got to wait for Bryce to be the deciding vote on this. He is the tiebreaker. So, you know, there's that. We got to get Bryce in on this, and he'll square us up.
Oh, and
I'm sure he will choose correctly.
Yes,
to our very loyal fan, Bryce did send word. He's hoping to join us next week.
There's hoping.
So, fingers crossed that, you know, his shit works out, and we'll have Bryce, the joke sniper, taking pot shots at all of us.
You know damn good and well he's probably going to say when we bring up that debate that he doesn't give a fuck.
He's sharpening his gun right now.
More than likely. Whenever it comes down to it, he's just like, I don't care.
Exactly, yeah. Like,
but I don't care. You have to cast the deciding vote just one way or the other. I don't care. Just like nudge it with your foot. Just give us a nod or like a snort or something.
We're just going to use like the family gender. Electoral college on this one, you know? I'm just saying.
He's like Mr. Burns.
That means Bryce is George W. Bush. He is the decider.
Yeah.
No, he's like Mr. Burns. He's like, you know, when they, like Mr. Burns, we have the people of Australia that came together to make your name in candles. You can see it from space if you just turn your head slightly. No, it's fine.
That's cool. Good. I don't care. It's really not that important.
So thanks again for joining us, and we'll talk to you all next week, hopefully with Bryce.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.